Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie Gold. Last week, a survey came out from 24/7 Wall Street indicating the healthiest eating habits and the worst eating habits in the nation, state by state. They broke it down, all 50 of them. Their criteria included the amount of fruits, vegetables consumed daily, kinds of beverages, whether people are drinking soda or water, the obesity rate, etc. Now, not surprisingly, California did the best and Mississippi did the worst. It points out that not everyone is eating fresh fruits and vegetables and drinking water the way we all know we should. And now add the time of year that we're in. How do we navigate the holidays and be mindful of the food we should be consuming? I'm going to integrative nutritionist Wendy Baruchowitz for some guidance. Wendy, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure because you're going to shed some light, I think, on an important and timely topic. What can we do in really small increments to make a change in our diet behavior?
There's very simple changes that we can do on a day-to-day basis. It's so easy if you have a blender or you don't even need a fancy Vitamix or a NutriBullet or anything. You could just easily just throw some frozen fruits, organic frozen fruits, into a blender with some coconut milk and turn it on, and there you have your daily allowance for the day of your fruits. You can also throw some vegetables in there if you like kale or cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, anything green, throw it in there. You could throw some almond or nut butter to get your protein, and then you're set and you're ready to start your day. And already you've had your one cup of your daily allowance as necessary for the day.
Now that sounds super simple, right?
Super simple.
And yet, by now we know what we're supposed to be eating, but it seems like it's a big change or a big dietary shift for people to change the way they think, starting out in the morning, for example, as people may grab a donut and a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. How do you, as an integrative nutritionist, change their behavior exponentially?
So we start very slowly. And the way I work with clients is I don't believe in taking away all the foods that people love. I call it crowding out. And what that does is that we crowd out some of the bad foods, the high sugary processed foods, and we add in more of the good stuff. So I would start out with a client, for instance, and I would teach them a very simple overnight oatmeal. Literally, you just put some rolled oats into a mason jar or a mug overnight, throw some coconut milk, any kind of fruit that you like, and a little bit of sweetener. We can talk about some alternative sweeteners from refined sugar. And you put it in the refrigerator overnight. You wake up the next day, and you have your protein-packed, healthy breakfast that way, and it's your best way to start your day. So that is a very simple way to eliminate any of the sugary cereals. One of the key things that I see with most clients is that they don't get enough protein in the morning, which is going to make them crave sugar and salty and snack foods later on in the day.
So this is a really interesting way to do that, and that does not require cooking from what you're saying, right?
Nope. It's great for busy moms, for dads who have to get up super early in the morning and don't have time to prep something and don't want to stop at Dunkin' Donuts on the way. They just open up their fridge, they take it on the go, and they can eat it, you know, on their way.
I'm going to try that.
That's great. Great.
Well, so we heard that California has the best habits, and it's not surprising because they're outdoors people. They have good weather. They have the incredible fruits and vegetables in California that other people don't have the benefit of. And then we talk about the other states. It was Louisiana. It was Mississippi.
Yes.
It was Alabama. The southern states, a lot of obesity in those states. Good old southern cooking, we know, is delicious, but it's laden with butter and cream and fat and bacon. And so for these people, it is their heritage. It's their way of life. It's hard to change a cuisine. But I believe, and I know you believe, in making substitutions.
They're very easily you can make substitutions. Obviously, take away frying as versus baking. But if, in terms of the ingredients that you're putting in, you could easily take away, you know, swap out the butter and use more of a coconut oil versus the butter. And that way you get that nice, like, rich flavor when you're actually making a chicken. And you can still make it crispy. You can still bake it. You don't have to use a frying. And if you are going to fry, do more of a saute and use a very safe, high heat extra virgin olive oil.
So there are ways to continue with the cuisine but not have the bad stuff in there. I love grits, for example, and I like them very plain. You know, I do. I don't put cheese in them. I just like the taste of the corn. And then, you know, I go to Louisiana and it's just so sugary, so salty rather, and so buttery that cheesy, I can't eat it. So for that kind of tradition, as you mentioned, coconut oil is a wonderful alternative.
It's a wonderful alternative because there's a ratio between omega-6 fatty acids and omega-3 fatty acids. And coconut oil is one of those oils that has a very good ratio with very low omega-6 fatty acids, which is that's where we get all the bad, we call that the bad fat, the bad cholesterol, where it has much more of the omega-3 fatty acids, which we find in fish and other forms of omega-3 fatty acid foods, which is keeps our good cholesterol, and that's what we call the good fat. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to substitute those into your recipes. Also, while you're making a fried chicken, you don't have to use white flour. White flour, if you're refined flour, it turns right into sugar raises your glycemic index. You can easily sub that out with an almond flour, a coconut flour, an oat flour, a teff flour. There's so many other options out there that are healthier and are going to be fortified versus the white, and I call it anemic because it's devoid of any nutrients whatsoever.
I'm speaking with Wendy Berukowitz, who's an integrative nutritionist and is commenting on the recent survey about the bad and good dietary habits of people in the states, state by state. One of the problems, of course, Wendy, is the cost, because organic is more expensive, or almond flour certainly is more expensive than a white flour that you can find anywhere. Is there a way that you would know that we can get around these really heavy costs?
So what I tell clients, if cost is an issue, that you pick your five staple foods that you want to be organic. So there's the Dirty Dozen, there's the Clean 15. So in terms of if you're going to eat fruit, so the Dirty Dozen, I would say you always buy your apples organic. That is the number one on the Dirty Dozen list that has 45 pesticides on one apple. So you pick and choose which ones are going to be have the most impact at the lowest cost. So I say, you know, not everyone can afford to eat everything absolutely organic. Then I would tell them to pick their chicken. Make sure that their chicken is antibiotic-free and hormone-free and raised, not eating corn and soy. So I would pick, you know, we would work together and identify the main staples in your diet and what you absolutely buy organic. It doesn't have to be your entire diet.
Again, the small swapping out is going to make a big change in how your body reacts to this kind of food.
Absolutely. Whether it's for weight loss or it's for anti-inflammatory issues, whether it's for preventing disease, taking away a lot of these refined sugars, these chickens, you know, ingested with hormones and antibiotics, these Dirty Dozens, all these pesticides on fruit. I mean, that alone is going to have a positive, severe impact on your health.
So we're now heading straight into the holiday season, of course, with Thanksgiving behind us and Hanukkah and Christmas and everything else. And everybody loves the sweets and all the treats that we get this time of year. We don't want to miss out. Help. What can we do to get around the refined sugar?
I love the sweets, too. So we don't want to feel deprived around the holidays, and it's very easy to do that. Some ways, when you're baking, you can substitute refined sugar with just using raw honey. So if a recipe calls for 1 cup of refined sugar, that you then replace it with 3/4 cup of honey. And honey has so many properties that have so many vitamins and minerals and very nutrient-dense food. So it's very rich in vitamin B, vitamin C. It has beta-carotene, B1, thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, all these fortified foods that you wouldn't even think would be in honey. It has antioxidant agents in it. Another substitute could be blackstrap molasses. So for every cup of refined sugar that a recipe calls for, you want to substitute it for 1 to 1/3 cups of blackstrap molasses. Again, that also has more than the RDA of calcium, potassium, and iron, as well as copper and B vitamins. So you're still getting the sweet, but you're also getting the minerals and all the health benefits of these sugars as well.
Absolutely, a lot of goodness in them. And in the remaining moment that we have, agave syrup. Tell me about that, because I thought that was a good thing to do.
So agave syrup is, it's low on the glycemic index. It does offer sweetness, but it without spiking the blood sugar level. However, like white sugar, most agave syrup is highly processed. So that one I would keep at the bottom of the list and go for more of the raw honeys and the blackstrap molasses.
Excellent advice. Well, thank you for weighing in. These were really great tips today on America Weekend. And you have a consulting company, Food That Cares.
Yep, www.foodthatcares.com.
Thank you, Wendy Berukowitz, integrative nutritionist, weighing in today on America Weekend.
Thank you, Valerie, for having me.
I'm Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie Gold, and this is the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here has your little tyke discovered four-letter words, or let me put it another way. Would you like an easy way to stop cursing in its tracks?
You watch your language.
Here's the social science of it. No doubt when kids hit a certain age, they're going to try out all the new words they hear at school and on the playground. And of course, television and movies are a source of a salty language. To stop it, you could correct until you're blue in the face, or try this instead. Take a quart jar and fill it with quarters, show it to your child, and say, hey, this is yours.
Cool.
However, every time I hear you curse, I'm taking four quarters out of the jar.
Oh, bogus!
What's left at the end of the month is yours to keep. What's the cheap psychological trick? Yeah, it's a cheap form of bribery, and it'll keep the curse words out of your house. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. If you're in a marriage that doesn't look like it has much of a future, is it better to try to make the best of it or end it as quick as possible? Well, the financial answer is get out quick. Why? The final verdict after this. Today's final verdict is sponsored by National Debt Relief Group. Do you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Learn how to reduce your balance with a free 5-minute consultation. Call 800-382-9602. That's 800-382-9602. Assets acquired during a marriage are usually split equally between spouses. The shorter the marriage, the fewer the assets. There are other factors that can make a financial difference. Was an asset given as a gift to only one spouse? Was a pension earned prior to a marriage? Or was a business owned prior to the marriage? And that's the final verdict.